China's economy is growing at its slowest pace since the financial crisis. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Fresh figures this morning showed the world's second largest economy grew at a rate of 6.5% in the third quarter. That number was below analysts' expectations and down from 6.7% in the second quarter. But is it weaker fundamentals or the ongoing trade spat with the U.S. that's hitting the economy harder? Freya Beamish is Chief Asia Economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics.
Quarterly growth slowed by much more than the official data. And really, I think what caused that was a pickup in consumer prices, really driven by adverse weather conditions and the advent of swine flu again. So that really eroded purchasing power in the household sector. The direct impact from tariff hikes will probably come through in the current quarter in Q4.
So what does all this mean for both Chinese and the broader global economic growth picture next year? The IMF downgraded its outlook for China. Now they're looking for a growth rate of 6.2%. They say that's a direct result of the ongoing trade issues.
Growth probably will come in below 6.5%. In reality, I think much weaker than that, maybe even 5%, given today's data was just so weak.
China's fighting on three fronts. How can they combat slower growth, high debt, and an escalating trade war?
The stock market has taken a bit of a pummeling this year, but we haven't seen so much of the authorities in there trying to stabilize things. The repercussions of that is that there won't be a kind of monetary spillover to stabilize the stock market.
Freya Beamish there. Let's do the numbers. Despite those weaker-than-expected growth figures, China's Shanghai Composite jumped 2.5%. That's rebounding from the four-year low it hit yesterday. Still, the index is down nearly 30% since the start of the year. Meanwhile, shares in Europe are broadly lower as investors digest that data. The British pound is seeing fresh fluctuations amid ongoing Brexit negotiations. As Americans gear up for the midterm elections in 2 weeks, skepticism about the use of social media's influence on the electorate is on the rise. But in Brazil, the presidential frontrunner and his supporters are embracing it. That's ahead of a runoff election in just 9 days. It doesn't come without controversy, though. Jair Bolsonaro has denied allegations he sought funding from business leaders for a mass social media campaign targeting his rival, and that he was behind a so-called WhatsApp lie factory. The BBC's Katie Watson reports.
Jair Bolsonaro's support keeps growing stronger, and with that, his determination to prove himself as a very different kind of politician. With these elections for Mr. Bolsonaro to lose, he's less inclined to take part in any of the planned presidential debates. His preferred method of getting his message across is speaking to his fans live on Facebook. And without Jair Bolsonaro and Fernando Haddad meeting face-to-face to debate the future of Brazil, the political attacks have continued off-camera, using social media instead. But it's a terrain that's becoming increasingly aggressive amid accusations of fake news and misinformation.
Katie Watson. We'll take you to Indonesia now, where one entrepreneur is helping a new generation of street vendors embrace new technology. The company is called Warung Pintar, or Smart Kiosk, as the BBC's Su Ping Chan reports.
I've come to the southern part of Jakarta, where about 100 metres from an extremely busy road, I've found one of these new high-tech stalls. The sound you can hear in the background there is Ibu Sania. She's the owner of this Warung Pintar and is currently grinding ice for a drinks order. There's a tablet here which monitors her sales and tells her when stock is low. So what's made you choose Warung Pintar?
When I planned to start my warung, I didn't have money, and Warung Pintar offered me the capital. I like everything about it, the technology, the funding, the whole ecosystem.
In just 6 months, Ibu Sania has managed to double her income from her previous job as a masseuse. Warung Pintar's business model, with no upfront payments for the vendor and a one-stop shop provided by the technology firm, means everyone makes money when she succeeds.
My name is Agung Bezari Hadinegoro. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Warung Pintar. We are digitalizing the traditional retails of Indonesia. So everything is already prefabricated. It's yellow, so you could see it from far away. Basically, we adopt the traditional warung into something more comfortable. And we actually have a CCTV there.
Yes, I can see Big Brother is watching us in the corner there, just in case.
Phone charging stations as well.
Right.
Usually they could put it outside or inside.
The business is just a year old, but has already received a $4 million cash injection in a funding round. Agung says the past year has also taught him something valuable about the way Indonesians do business.
The biggest lesson is you have to be very close to users. For example, when we first started, our order management system was, it used to be like an e-commerce model, so like with a card and everything, but doesn't work. Something that is really working for them is chat-based shopping.
Is that an Indonesian thing? So that, you know, Indonesia still like that personal touch,
yes,
would you
yes,
say?
Yes, it is. Like for Indonesia, touch is really important.
Back on the main road, there's a row of traditional warung owners here selling all manner of treats. Agung's hope is that these stalls will soon be transformed into the yellow smart kiosks that will take a traditional trade into a new era.
Suping Chan reporting there from Indonesia. And finally, that's Johnny Hallyday, France's answer to Elvis Presley. Last night, fans lined up outside record stores in Paris to buy his newly released final album. It was recorded shortly before his death last year. Across his 50-year career, the French rock and roll star sold more than 110 million records. Don't forget, you can get our podcast wherever you get yours. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.